Every time I see him, must be living right, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I do want to go over a few things because, see, folks, a lot of you do not know my wife, children, and I. We came to Calvary Cathedral about 25, 26 years ago on the west side of Fort Worth. And how that even happened, my wife wakes me up in the middle of the night and says, Daddy, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. I said, what did he say now? He said, we're going to Calvary Cathedral and sit under Bob Nichols. I said, all right. I'm not going to argue with it. How many of you men know that's the last thing you want to do is argue with your wife? Amen? Especially when she uses those words, I've heard from the Lord. Amen? So we started on the west side of Fort Worth and Thursday nights in the little chapel. And then we'd come every Sunday. My wife and I got involved. We started, you know, when they had the deaf here, I would help with that. My wife got involved with stitches, interpreting for the Spanish outreaches. And my children got involved. Now, guys, let me explain something to you. In the verse I'm going to use tonight, it's in Revelation 12, 11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives even unto the death. Amen? Amen? Let me encourage each one of us. I'm here to testify. Because standing up here at this pulpit is probably one of the highest honors I've ever had. Because I cannot bring anything new to you or tantalizing or anything you've probably never heard before because of the great teaching you've sat under for so many years. Amen? Some of the greatest men of God have stood up here. Case in point, the gentleman sitting right there. You know, I'll never forget, Pastor, that there was about a 3 or 4 year period of time. I don't care how you started, you always came back to faith, hope, and love. And one day I asked Pastor, I said, Pastor, when are you going to change that message of faith, hope, and love? He looks at me, son, when are you going to learn it? Amen. And this message is about faith. Mom and I sat right back over in that section, working with the deaf, going on the outreaches. And when God gave us an opportunity 19 years ago, we went on an outreach to Honduras, Central America. When we were leaving the nation of Honduras, standing on the tarmac of the old airport at San Pedro Sula, the Holy Spirit spoke to us simultaneously and said, this is your destiny. I said, wait a minute, Lord, I don't like this, you know. The only thing I knew about Honduras was the sand and the surf, that clear sea, 100 feet deep water. You know, that's not my lifestyle. That's not me. You know, I like things different. I like trees and dirt, real dirt. But you know what? I learned the chief thing is obedience. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, I read about obedience in the Word of God. Pastor, let me encourage you, because years ago, the Lord told me, he said, son, you want to pray and pray effectively? Absolutely. Who doesn't? He said, pray my word. To pray my word is to pray my will. So to pray his word, we're accomplishing his will. So every scenario in our lives, when something comes up, I search the scriptures. Oh, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me now. Quick, 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 quick. And Pastor, you're right. Down where we live, it is classified the murder capital of the world for a non-combat country. We've had that distinction for 7 years. In a meeting a couple years ago with the president at that time of Honduras and the ambassador of the United States, they openly acknowledged within a few miles of my home, 80-something percent of all the drugs coming out of Colombia are redistributed. We have a lot of problems with the Colombian cartel, the Mexican cartel, gangs, and I want to tell you, it is awesome. It is absolutely the most awesome thing in the world, being right dead center in God's will. Because, it doesn't matter where I'm at. Like Pastor said, it doesn't matter if you're in Dallas, Texas, or Fort Worth. It does not matter. But I'll tell you what matters if you're out of God's will. You don't stand a snowball's chance in July if you're outside the will of God. Anyway, let me go back. Mom and I were sitting back there when the Holy Spirit talked. But I knew it wasn't God's timing. We just bought a new home. You know, I was here working with the deaf. We just had a baby. Which, by the way, our 16-year-old now, Joy Marie, was actually named after Sister Joy. Because you know what? I learned years ago that if you put that title, that label, that presence in a child's life, and then there's an expectation. I want my daughter to grow up and be a lady of God like this young lady. Amen? Amen? So anyway, oh, no, praise God. What happened was, guys, approximately 13 years ago, again, the Holy Spirit woke Mom up. And then she has to, I don't know why she always has to wake me up. Why can't it wait till morning? But anyway, she wakes me up and said, Daddy, the Lord said, start getting boxes. So you wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning again, we will be boxing, okay? So I rolled over, went back to sleep, started collecting boxes. She started packing and stacking everything. But let me tell you something. For years, I sat here and I heard the stories of faith. And seeds were sown into my heart to believe God. So when I began to pray about this, the Lord specifically said, Leonard, I want you to pattern your ministry in the similitude of George Mueller. I thought, wow. How many of y'all know George Mueller? Amen. If you don't, I mean, I love the era we live. You can Google it. It's M-U-L-L-E-R. Great man of God, lived a couple hundred years ago, fed, clothed, and housed thousands of children. Never let anybody know his needs but God. So I said, Lord, you want me to go to Honduras and tell nobody? Well, I had to tell my pastor. I said, Pastor, before I can leave, I need your blessing. He wasn't going to pay my bills. He wasn't going to go with me. But spiritually, the principle is there. I needed my pastor's blessing. Well, that's a no-brainer. He gave it. So we loaded, and I'm going to tell you guys, we gave away a 5-bedroom home, vehicles. Mama knew I was serious. She thought I was crazy as a whatever. But when I threw open that garage and started giving away tools, guns, hunting gear, fishing gear, she said, oh, Daddy, you're serious. I said, I'm dead serious. That's what the Lord said, so I got to do it. We loaded everything else in an old Dodge Durango and took off, drove south. When we arrived in Honduras, I'll be honest with you folks, I wish that I'd done a little bit better research because we didn't have a clue what we were in for. But this I do know, that when you step out in faith and you mix it with obedience, God moves in awesome ways. We didn't really tell anybody that we were going. We covet y'all's prayers and pastor's blessing. We didn't have a dime to our name. We didn't have anything. But it's like I told Mama, I said, hey, this is exciting. Because if this isn't God, don't unpack. If it is God, well, here we are over 12 years later. And as you can see, I haven't missed many meals. Amen? I'm serious. It's just simple stuff. God gave us a mandate, and that was to bring faith, hope, and love to the children of Honduras. And that's what we're doing. When we arrived down there, we began to work with another organization. And I'm going to tell you folks, you can ask my son-in-law, he knows the story better than most. They were not walking integrity. And I began to scream and shout and holler and ready to fist fight them. So God moved us on. We began a feeding program up in the mountains, feeding hundreds of children by faith. And I'm telling you, I can tell you stories all night long about those early days. I can tell you stories all night long about yesterday because they're real and they're fresh and they're vivid. And you know what's the cool thing about this is, I got to be honest with you about one thing. We do not have an orphanage. Please get that fixated in your mind. I like that earlier song where it says, you know what? In the kingdom of God, there are no orphans. There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. These children that God has brought into our lives, yeah, their mothers were prostitutes and drug addicts. Most of them are that alcohol, drug, fetal syndrome babies. Every one of them have come into my home when they were babies. And we're raising them in the similitude of our own. I'm not doing anything different with them that I've not done with Jeannie, David, and Joy. Speaking of, any of y'all remember my son David? That scraggly little rascal would always get in trouble out here. You know, one of my favorite stories about that boy, when they were taken up, he had saved and collected and begged, bartered, sold about everything he had, all the money he could find. He had a bag of money that was so heavy he couldn't carry it. And pastor was asking about, you know, time for offering and tithes, and David began to drag that thing down here. By the way, my son, who's fixed to turn 25, has been on his own for 5 years. He lives in another complete part of Honduras. And when he got out of Christ for the Nations and came back, I said, son, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to marry my sweetheart, And I'm going to start my own ministry 8 hours away from you, Dad. Well, how are you going to do that? You don't know anybody. He said, Dad, I'm going to do it by faith. And let me get, son, you got to understand, you're going to have a wife now and you got responsibility. What did he learn growing up? And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. These are lessons I learned here. You know, I watched a man of God believe God when no one else, everybody thought he was loony as a tree load of monkeys, I guess. But he continued to press in and believe God. These things, I mean, they saturate you, they permeate you, and they, you know, it's got to come forth as fruit. We are fruit of Calvary Cathedral. We're fruit of Bob Nichols. We're fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're impacting a nation. Lord told me years ago, he said, son, you're going to have minimal to no impact on this nation. I'm like, well, why am I here? He said, those children that you're raising, they will change this nation for the glory of God and the praise of his Christ. Because like I said earlier, it's not an orphanage. We have a long-term discipleship program. Amen? We're raising these children in the fear of God, raising these children in the faith of the Word, raising these children to believe God for miracles. And I can prove it. You know, we've got a really beautiful Toyota bus or van. We had a little boy that came in that was just really horrible condition, 6 toes on each foot. We had to get him big, thick glasses, can't talk, got a big scar on his neck. One night, Jose goes, Papa, can I pray? I said, well, yeah. So he began the prayer, as a lot of the kids do every night devotion, you know. Lord, bless Mama, Papa, this time in the world. Oh. Lord, we need a busita, our van. I said, amen to that, kid. You know, for 2 years, he prayed for a van for our family. One night, Mom and him were coming back from the city in a little rickety car that we still have it. It's not running. It hadn't run in a while. And he said, hey, Cayete, Cayete. Oh, he was telling everybody, shut up, shut up. And Mom was like, what? He said, Mom, I got to pray. That night, he said something that a lot of people, if you catch this, it's been worth your time being here. He said, Mom, I got to pray. And he said this prayer, Lord, I want to thank you for our busita, for our van. The next day, some people in the United States called us up and said, last night in our devotions, the Holy Spirit spoke to us to buy you a brand new van. Now, listen to this. Within a year after that, about 6 months later, he prayed in a pickup truck for our ministry and a pickup truck for another ministry. He can't read, he can't write, could hardly speak, 6 toes on each foot, wearing thick glasses. He was abandoned on the streets. Okay? See, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen? It doesn't say ancestry. It doesn't say heritage. It doesn't say degrees. It doesn't say none of that stuff. It says without faith. Here was a 5-year-old little boy that has more faith. You know? Before we got him reacquainted with his family, I want to go, Jose, pray for Papa, new truck. Yeah. No. But I want to encourage you tonight, guys. We are seed that has sprouted forth and taken roots in the nation of Honduras that began here. Right here. Right here. We didn't begin down the street or somewhere else. When we went on that first mission trip down to Honduras, it started here. We came back, we continue to receive here. Now, recently, I had a gentleman come up to me down in Honduras. He said, are you Leonard Jones? I said, yeah. He said, I've been watching you and all these kids. I just did a series of meetings through the South, and I've got all these pastors want me to start an orphanage or get involved with an orphanage. I said, well, that's great. I said, praise God. I said, but I need to talk to you first. I was busy loading all the kids in the van after church. We're leaving. Now, we don't have a church. We've helped start some churches. We go to a very large assembly of God in the city because it's not a lot of places I can take all my kids and not be a freak show. Okay, the oldest one is 11, Marlon. The youngest is Thelma at 1 year of age. All right, so when we go places, like, wow, what is this old guy doing with all these kids? And that's what it looks like, you know. I mean, hey, I'm a grandfather. I shouldn't be their father. But God chose me to disciple them. So this man comes up to me and starts talking. I said, look, meet me in town tomorrow. Let's talk. And he said, well, how about if I come out to your place? Well, he drove out. And 5 minutes in the house, I said, let's get outside. We homeschool all our kids. So we go outside, and he says, look, you know, I really want to get involved. I got all these churches ready to get involved. I said, well, got two questions for you. He said, one of those. Number one, are you consistent in your daily devotions in God's Holy Scripture? He said, no. I said, all right, number two, are you consistent in your tithes? He said, no. I said, Bobby, do me a favor. Walked over, opened the door to his car, said, go ahead and get in. There's the gate, and I'll open it for you. When you're faithful and you're consistent, come back, because you ain't got nothing to give my children. Okay? Guys, we live by faith. And God has blessed us in ways I would have never dreamed possible. About 4.5 years ago, I met a man in Tegucigalpa at a pastor's conference. He was a North American. He said, you know, he started asking me all these questions about what we do, how we do it, why we do it. Well, the why is easy. Okay? Well, afterwards, he told me, he said, I'm going to come see you. Well, he came to see me a few weeks later with his wife. As they were leaving, he looked me in the eye and he said, Leonard, my wife and I prayed about it. We're going to give you $100,000 to start your children's home. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? $100,000. How many of y'all know? I said dollars, not lempiras, our money down there. It's 22 limps to the dollar, or lempiras to the dollar. $100,000. How many of you would just love if somebody walked up to you and stroked you a check for $100,000? How many of y'all could use $100,000? Amen. You know what? I was just like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, guess what happened? A month later, he calls me up. In the interim, the Holy Spirit very specifically told me, don't take his money. I'm going to tell you, you talk about a step of faith. I mean, I was crying. Oh, Lord, please just give me 30 grand. I'll repent later. You know, we needed money. We desperately needed money. So I told the guy, I said, look, you know, the Holy Spirit told me don't take your money because I need a relationship with you. I don't need your money. And a man got mad at me. He said, you realize I finance programs in Mongolia and China, the Philippines. And anybody? I said, great. Stay with it. Be faithful. He hung up on me. Let me tell you what happened after that. God began to open up the windows of heaven. Guys, I've been a tither. Even in Honduras, I'm a tither. Okay, even though I have my own ministry and I'm responsible for a lot of things, my first thing that I do every month when we get whatever donations come in, I separate God's with joy. Amen? Because you know what? What did Wayne Myers always say? If you're only giving 10%, you're 1% for being a what? A thief. Amen? And I live by that. I've done that since I got saved in the Marine Corps at 18 years of age. Tithing is just, you know, man, what a privilege it is to give back to God. Amen? Right after that, the money started flowing in. We just finished a year and a half ago and moved into a 12,000 square foot home. How many of y'all know that's a big house? You know what's that old song? You say, I got a big, big house. I don't sing very good. That's why the Bible says make a joyful noise. I begin to sing, people start laughing. Thank you. You know? And I'll never forget the first check we got from Oslo, Norway. 25 grand. Oh, I ran to town. By the way, we don't have internet. We don't get phone reception. We don't have TV reception. We don't get the newspaper. We do not have an address where we live. We live in a little village called El Cacao, Departamento Alante da Honduras. I have a P.O. box, okay? There's no zip codes. I mean, you just put down Papa Jones, 979 La Sable, and he shows up there, okay? So, you know, I ran to town, sent out a few emails, thank you, why did you do this, why us? No response. After about a dozen emails, still no response. God has blessed us. He sent us money from Barcelona, Spain, Madrid, London, England, Canada, Mexico, in Monterrey, Querétaro, Mexico City. People, a lot of times, we don't even know. Or you'll hear this. Oh, well, my cousin, his sister or girlfriend went on a cruise, and they were on the mainland and met you. It's like the guy that bought our property we're on. He's from Canada, retired wheat farmer. His grandson met my son on the beach. David gave him one of our cards. He went home, told his grandfather about this crazy family living by faith, raising all these kids as their own. That old gentleman put Mike Hart in his Bible, and every day when he'd read his Bible, he'd pray for us. You know, it's a long story. I wish I had time. I really do. What time do I got to be done here? No, seriously. Because, you know, I had a cup of coffee before I came, and boy, I didn't get a chance to talk with people in English much and worship the Lord in English. This is sweet. So, no, it's 7:42. What time you want me done? No, I'm serious. You ask my wife. I can go on all night. Because I know pastor's kind of tired. He's been through a lot. Pastor, I want to encourage you in something. 5 years ago, I broke my back in two places. I was in the hospital 3 days, pumped full of morphine. The doctor, he had a wall full of degrees. I mean, Argentina, Colombia, Brazil, the United States, Honduras. And he looked at me and said, Mr. Jones, you'll probably never walk again. He said, the best you're going to do is you might have a walker at very, very best if you're not in a wheelchair. And I'm laying there and I looked at him and said, Doc, no offense, but you don't know my God like I do. Okay? We've seen God raise children from the dead. When I went down, I was hopelessly diabetic. God healed me. Okay? I mean, guys, you know, it's like somebody told me one time, God doesn't do miracles. No, I said, that's cool. If that's what you want to believe, but I'm a candidate for anything he wants to do. Amen? Guys, let me tell you something. I want to encourage you tonight. Believe God. Believe God. Get rooted and grounded in his holy scriptures. Pray the word. Let me tell you, I'll do this real quick. God gave me 7 steps to success. I'll close with this, and I want to pray for you. Step one, read the word. If you're not in the word, you're in the world, period. I don't give a rip who you are, how long you've been doing it, what your titles are, or what you think about yourself. If you're not in the word, you're in the world. Okay? Number two, pray the word. Pray the word. If you're praying his word, you're praying his will. So to pray his will is to pray his word. Amen? Number three, meditate on the word. Meditate. Number four, memorize. What did Paul write to the church at Rome in chapter 12, you know? Renewing your mind. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus got a hold of me, I was such a mess. Such a mess. I'm still kind of messed up. Sanctification has been a long, drawn-out process. And it's still a fight. Amen? But because he's anointed me with a tenacity and a love and a passion for his holy scripture, I'm hanging tough. Matter of fact, let me tell you what I'm doing right now. This year I promised myself and I made a commitment. Every night before I go to bed, I'm reading Psalms 119. Whoa, is that off the chart? Psalms 119. Wow. I mean, honestly, it's 176 verses, but 157 of those are personalized. I, me, mine, thine, sermon. So every, boy, I'm sorry. I get going on that one. That's good. That's good. All right. So the next one is quote the word. You know, Jesus quoted scripture all the time. He didn't have to give chapter and verse. You don't have to come across like you're some kind of concordance. Be real with people. In your conversation, you're going to be quoting God's holy scripture, and they don't have a clue. You can drop the these and thous and those from the King James. I mean, it's easier to do in Spanish. But anyway, what did I say? Quote the word. Yeah, quote the word. Let me see. Yeah, understand I'm kind of excited tonight. So it's read the word, pray the word. What did I say? Meditate on the word, memorize the word, quote the word. Oh, number six. I like this one. It's kind of a new one God gave me here a while back. Praise him with the word. Come on, guys. Open up the scripture and just begin to sing it to him about his greatness and his awesomeness and his bigness. Okay? You know, one of my favorite songs still to this day is Jesus Loves the Little Children. So when I open up my Bible and I begin to sing his word back unto him and praise him with his word. You know, there's just something so sweet and comforting in that, like a child. You know? How many of y'all remember when you were a little kid and you climbed up in your daddy's lap and it was just like everything in the world was just okay? Well, I never experienced that. My father was not a very nice man, but you know what? I've had to experience it with my Heavenly Father. Oh, and it's so much sweeter. You know, it's really cool. I'm watching my son-in-law with my grandson. You know? And he loves my grandson. So his He's elevated in my eyes. Anybody love my grandson like that? You're all right with me. You're just flat out all right. The last one, and this is the one I struggle with the most. Obey the word. Obey the word. I know a lot of people have a 12-step program. I'm just kind of a simple guy, so God had to tone it down and simplify it for me. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I do. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, Pastor, Joy, Charlie, every one of you, thank you. Thank you so much. It's because of your faithfulness and your prayers that has enabled us to do what we do. I really wished I had about 6 or 8 hours just sit and visit and share our hearts and some of the things God's put us through. I mean, I can tell you honestly some wild stories, murders that, it's just crazy. It's crazy. But I just want to encourage you tonight. Get a hold of God. Be in His Word. You know, honor your pastor. You know, I did something years ago because growing up without a father, I had him a little bit, but he wasn't a nice guy. Okay? But I always ask God to bring men into my life that would be my mentor. Somebody can look at and say, you know, when I grow up, I want to be like you. And I would do that with Pastor Bob. Come on, 62 years this August of marriage, faithful man of God. He started this church. You know, he is a faithful man of God. Gentlemen, and I'm speaking primarily to you. Walk in his footsteps. Be a faithful man. Pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to be like you. I really do. Because, you know, any man that will walk faithfully with God, God gave him, honor and respect his wife as he has done all these years. Guys, and I'm speaking to the gentleman, it doesn't get any better than that. What does it say? Psalms 107 is really cool. 4 times. Oh, that men would praise me for my goodness and my wonderful works before the children of men. Why do you think this country's messed up like it is? It's our fault. It's not the world's fault. It's not the school system's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's our fault, us men. I don't want to get on that right now, but you don't have to say amen. That's okay. Hey, I got to tell you a secret before I close. God loves me. My children adore me. And my wife puts up with me. Okay? So the rest doesn't really matter. I do want to pray for you right now. And do me a favor, keep your eyes open, your heads up. All those years working with the deaf, you know. Cool thing about working with the deaf was if you begin to pray, and when pastor would say, all right, everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes. Well, you know, I tell them do it. And you get up and walk away, they'd still be sitting there. I'm teasing, that's terrible. Or one of my favorite, one of my favorite things to do when people walk by, go, shh, 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 shh. This is the deaf section. Oh, isn't that terrible? I know. My wife says I had a real bad sense of humor. I'm sorry. You can start playing because this guy's great, isn't he? I want to tell you one quick story and then I am going to close. I've said that 3 times. Isn't that what I get 3 times to say I'm closing? I don't know how this really works. I don't speak much in churches. We had a little girl that was born in the jungles of Muskegon. Well, let me rephrase that. She wasn't born. She was aborted. At 4.5 months in the pregnancy, Sumana Boscott was aborted by her mother. The mother was hemorrhaging and bleeding so bad she went to a little jungle clinic. They were able to save this baby's life. When the authorities called Mom and Mama called me, I was out picking up material. And she said, oh, Daddy, Daddy, we got a new baby. I said, great. You know, I really thought the first thing that was going to kill us there in Honduras, it wasn't the bandits, it wasn't the drug lords, it was sleep deprivation. Okay? So I get home and I see this little bitty baby and her eyes are just darting like crazy. Mama, something wrong with that baby. Mama's like, don't you touch my baby. Okay? Well, Sumata was blind. Aborted at 4.5 months into the pregnancy, her eyes didn't develop. But I've always raised her, and I always tell everybody, leave her alone. She ain't handicapped. She's only blind. Last year, a family out of Burleson, Texas, where we used to live, adopted her. A pastor and his wife, 15 years experience working with blind children. Prior to her adoption, Sumana and I are driving down the road, And she asked me, Papa, what time is it in Japan? I'm like, who cares? You know, I don't know. So I had to stop, you know, kind of, okay, let me see. Okay, and I figured it up. Over the next week before she was adopted, she asked me so many intriguing questions about Japan. So finally, we're coming back from the store and run some errands. Sumada's in the back seat. And I said, Sumada, what is this infatuation with Japan? She said, Papa, the Lord's told me when I grow up, I'll be a missionary in Japan. You know? All I can do is pull the van over and cry. Now, I just saw Sumada a couple days ago at her house, her adoptive family. She's bringing her first team to Honduras. She's 7. She's bringing her first team to Honduras this July. I told her dad, I said, hope this isn't a blind lead to blind. No, I'm teasing. You know? But how awesome is that? Guys, it ain't no different with you and I. God's got a plan for your life. Just get off your blessed assurance and do something, and something will get done. Okay? If you want to sit and warm a pew, great place. But you want to do something to advance the kingdom of God, get up and do it. Guys, they're doing soul winning. Come on. How cool is that? How cool is that? You know, he's the Lord of the harvest. We can sow, we can water, but we can trust God to bring in the harvest. One thing I've always loved about Pastor Bob and Calvary, they always give an altar call. You never know. You never know. You never know. Amen. Anyway, let me pray for you guys. Heads up, eyes looking. Okay? Father, in the name and the blood of Jesus, I praise you and I bless you this night. I thank you for each person here tonight that came here expecting to hear from you. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would anoint their hearts to grab a hold of the vision and the passion of the cross for this community, for this state, for this nation, for this world. For this time is ours in Jesus' name. Father, you didn't call Paul, you didn't call Moses, you didn't call Billy Graham. You called us for this generation. This is our generation. Take the gospel out to bring the souls in and advance your kingdom. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives, that we wouldn't veer off the left or the right, but with a singleness of heart and purpose, we would strive forth for the gospel of Jesus Christ for your honor and glory. Father, I pray for all those that are hurting in need. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, let them feel the strength of your arms, the delight of your smile as your comforter sweeps over them and begins to bring healing and hope and love into their lives. And Father, I pray for every man in this place that we would stand up and be the men that you called us to be, irregardless of where it takes us, what it costs, or what's involved. Men, stand up and be men for the gospel in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how this thing works. I will hang around for a few minutes. Unless you're mad at me, then Dale will start the car. And, you know, so if you have any questions, I'll try and answer them shortly. You know what? I do want to do one other thing, Pastor. I want to pray for you. And before I do that, I want to tell you I love you. I love you. Father, I just pray for my pastor. What an awesome man of God. What a privilege it was just to watch him through the years. What an honor. What an honor to know such a man that has served you, that loves you. Forgive us, Lord, for not standing up to that level. Anoint us men to walk in the footsteps of such giants as Bob Nichols. Bless my pastor in his sitting down, rising up. I speak healing to his back. I pray, Lord God, that your angels would surround him and take charge over him, that he would never again dash his foot against a stone. But with peace and joy, he would go forth to finish this race with more power and more anointing and more of you, more of you, more of you in his life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.